If I say there is hope for complete recovery for people with a concussion, you say
100%.
And in fact, you didn't only feel it, you were outside the regular medical system because they were not interested in you.
Neuroplasticity actually opens you up to the world, makes it possible to develop, make it possible to rehabilitate.
Traumatic brain injury has been caused a silent epidemic for that reason, because it consists of changes and disabilities that are not obvious to other people.
If, as a physician, you felt you had nothing to offer a patient, then I think ethically you need to say, I don't think there's anything I can offer you. Maybe you should see Dr. M.
Historically, we have called these things mild traumatic brain injuries, which implies that, well, it may be a brain injury, but it's not going to have great consequence, right? And that's frankly not true.
Welcome to Concussion Stories, a Life Yana podcast series filled with hope. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone in your post-concussion recovery journey. My name is Melanie, and I spent 6.5 years learning, experimenting, and training in order to find a way to heal myself from post-concussion syndrome. After making a full recovery by the end of 2018, I embarked on this mission to make the recovery journey easier for you. This is why I started this podcast, wrote detailed blog posts and downloadable guides, offer coaching, and also the course that I wish I had back when I was recovering, teaching you everything that I needed to know in order to make my recovery happen. On Concussion Stories, we dig deep while discussing hopeful stories of recovery, as well as the hard stuff in the messy middle. Let's dive right in. This already is episode number 3 out of 4 with Professor Tena Wuo. Aside from being professor of neurotraumatology at the University of Turku in Finland, and being part of Center TBI, the large European research group researching traumatic brain injury, he is a compassionate doctor who has seen over 6,000 patients and truly understands the implications of lingering concussions. In this episode, he and I discuss common stressors after concussion and how important it is to recognize and eliminate them as much as you can. We'll also cover post-concussion depression, which is more normal than most people think. Let's have a listen to Professor Tena Wuo. You have written to me about this topic that you want to speak about a bit as well. The stress from the uncertainty, right? Of these injuries. Can you just share with us about this? So what are things that you want people to know?
Yeah, of course, there are many sources of stress for these patients. We have already discussed about this one source, that is that they often don't feel getting any help from medical professionals. That, of course, is one major stress. Another major stress is that they have been considered to have a minor injury or concussion or mild TBI or whatever, and they have to go back to work although they are not fit to do that yet. No. So they try to cope at stress. People are usually very want to manage their job and want to keep their job and want to earn their daily living, and they try to cope, and often it happens that they actually somehow realize that things are not going well, but they don't really understand why they cannot manage in their work as before. And then they try to cope and start developing sleep problems and depression and exhaustion, that kind of problems. And things get only more complicated because they don't get any help, and they try to cope, although they don't have the energy to manage those issues that they should in their daily life. And that is one thing that causes a lot of stress. And third one, which is a very common problem, is that if you are unable to work, you should of course be compensated somewhere. Many of those injuries happen on accidents that are covered by different types of insurances, traffic insurance or work-related accidents and so on. And to my experience, this may vary between countries and actually varies, I know, but in many countries, these are covered by private insurance companies and they often want to see that there's nothing major wrong. You should be able to work, and they don't compensate you. And actually, you are not able to work, but you are not able to get sick leave. You are not able to get compensation anywhere. So that is, of course, a major stress for anybody. So our system is easily creating many kinds of additional sources of stress for these patients. And then things start to get even more complicated, and then you have even less energy to recover from your injury.
Yes, yes. And if you stated, like, if you sum it up the way you do, it just feels like the whole system, and this is an exaggeration, so I won't state it as bluntly normally as I do now, but it sounds like the whole system is working against you when your brain is already not working. It's already hard to cope, and then it's made only worse.
Yeah.
I feel I am lucky. I am privileged even to be from the Netherlands. And when I got my concussion, I was working from a big corporation, and they were able to sustain me in a way. Sustain? Do you say sustain in English? Well, to help me. I was able to keep on working while having sick leave, and building up really was hard because the medical doctor from the company really expected me to build up much faster than I could. And I wasn't able to focalize what I needed back then because I was really not that aware about how I should deal with the situation, of course. And he was trying to get me back to work, and I was trying to get back to work because I wanted to be the person I was before, but I just couldn't. Luckily my manager really helped me, but I know that a lot of people are not in that situation. And when you don't have your job anymore, and you'll get financial trouble, and not to mention lawsuits that a lot of people are involved in. But how do you do that with a brain that doesn't work?
Maybe I have a negative attitude on these issues, and as I said, things are different in different countries. But somehow I think that some insurance companies make use of this problem that these patients are not able to handle their own issues.
Yes. Yeah, this is why we need to change things. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So you also spoke. You already mentioned a bit post-concussion depression. Is this something that you see a lot in practice?
That's a difficult question. In principle, yes, of course. What you see quite often is that if things really get complicated, you are not able to work, and you will not be compensated from anywhere. Of course, most of these people develop depression. Who wouldn't in that kind of life situation? Your life has changed. You are not okay. You are not able to cope from everyday things in your daily life, and you are not able to work, and you don't get compensated anywhere, so you get financial problems. You get poor sleep because you have so much worries to in your daily life. So I think I would say that that would be abnormal that if you don't develop any kind of depression on that in that kind of situation.
Really, I'm thankful for you saying it that way, because a lot of people with post-concussion syndrome feel like they shouldn't speak out about their depressions. But I always say that I think it's to be expected if you have a prolonged concussion that you will develop depression. And people shouldn't be afraid of it, and they shouldn't expect it like, now it's coming. But it's really, like you say, it's more normal than people think.
Yeah, of course. People react with depression and many other things if you have a major difficulties in your life. So that's a way of reacting on difficult life conditions. And of course, that's another question. How should this, when and how should that be treated? So that's another question. But also many major studies have shown that more than half of the patients with TBI develop depression at some point.
Yeah.
So that's, although depression is prevalent also in the so-called normal population, so that's still a way higher percentage than in normal population. Of course, you then have to think, is the degree of depression such that you should do something for that particularly? So does it prevent from making progress? So is it so severe, or is it just a normal reaction for the situation? That's something you said. So is it in a way adequate depression for the situation and adequate reaction for the life situation, or is it in a way a disorder? Is it a psychiatric disorder that you should treat?
Yes, of course. I fully understand that as a doctor, you are looking at it from this perspective. And what I always say to people with post-concussion syndrome, if you feel depressed, attack it. So work on it right away. See if you can find a psychologist. See if you can read on the internet about how to cope with depression. I also wrote a guide about it. But it's important to fight it head on, because if you keep it lingering, it will just become worse and worse, and you don't want to go there. So always try to manage it right away, whatever the diagnosis may be.
Yeah. It's very easy to develop different kinds of vicious circles after this kind of injuries. So this is one way that you have problems and then start developing depression and then start developing sleep problems, and things get only worse and worse. So then you have a mess where you, if you treat one of the problems, you still have the others left, and you are not making any progress.
No. Now I would love to hear from you. What do you take away from this episode? Is there something that you can apply to your life right away? Head on over to lifejana.com and leave your comment now. And if you want to hear and read more concussion stories, actionable steps, and inspiration, be sure to subscribe to the Life Jana email list while you're there, so that you never miss out on new materials we constantly make for you. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/concussionstories. Thank you for listening to this Concussion Stories episode by Life Jana. May you be well, and may you be happy.